Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NIIT Limited Q3 FY15 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining this call. I know it's a busy day for everyone, but I appreciate the fact that you decided to spend the afternoon with us. I have with me the whole management team, and more specifically, Rahul Patwardhan, the incoming CEO, as well as Shivan Bhargava, whom we had introduced last time as the Group President of Skills and Careers Group, Sapnesh Lalla, Rajeev Pawar, the Chairman, and P. Rajendran, Executive Director. So what I would quickly do is to take you through the highlights of the results. They have been on the website for a while, as well as the press releases, and those of you who have not had a chance to access them so far, www.niit.com. So two or three opening statements which I would like to make is, first of all, these are results for quarter three, October to December, which is seasonally a weak quarter for us historically for the last 33 years, and that's the case this year as well. It's further accentuated by the fact that we've been talking since last quarter results, which is since October, about the fact that as a business, as an organization, we are in transition, and we have a major business transformation process going on, including rationalization of our subsidiaries. And that effort has consumed a lot of, has gained a lot of intensity and speed, as well as has consumed a lot of energy, and the results need to be seen in that context. I would, as usual, start with the environment. Increased global economic uncertainty persists. The risk levels and the uncertainty levels at a global scale have only increased. If not, at best, it can be assumed they are stable, but they are at the same risk levels and same uncertainty levels. In corporate training markets in the U.S. and Europe, first of all, there is much more activity, lots caused by the economic pressures of the environment, and lots also caused by the successful track record of NIIT, which makes us experience some of these trends, as well as get to participate in many more bids. The third is, while in India, the business confidence levels are high, the expectations of improved business performance have increased, but the recovery remains fragile on the ground, and there is an uncertainty on structural reforms in the short term, and there's a lot of expectation built that in the short to medium term, there will be improvement in the economic conditions, and we are also part of that same optimistic crowd. In India, government has also announced plans to come up with a new skills development policy by March 15th, and we are eagerly awaiting. And many of these initiatives are very, very aligned and very, very much in line with the efforts that we have been making, so we are eagerly looking forward to that. In the IT sector, however, while the hiring rates have gone up, it is primarily driven by attrition, and therefore a lot of lateral hiring to fill up the place. Fresher hiring is just picking up, and we do hope that by the time this quarter ends, the inventory levels would have come down for new people to get into the fray and newer students, newer graduates to get those jobs. But on the ground, the sentiment continues to remain weak, though we did see some positives in some parts of this business. So overall, I would like to say the business confidence has improved, but the environment continues to remain weak. As usual, I would give a score on the dashboard of our four growth platforms. So on individual, on the cloud campus, We added 7,886 odd enrollments, so that now we have a gross total of nearly 100,000, 97.8 thousand enrollments. 265 centers are cloud-enabled, and 143 courses are on the cloud. It's a business under massive transition and transformation, and I will reflect my colleague. I will request my colleague Pat to take us through glimpses of that transformation process. And that is work in progress, and this quarter also would consume a lot of energy in that. In corporate, which is a stable business, growing very well, it has grown better than projections and has grown solidly with a solid order intake. And that is now at in MTS, Managed Training Services, we have 24 global customers. Our revenue visibility has improved to $177 million. And the transition to MTS is nearly complete, with 87% of our total business coming out of MTS. In NGuru, the schools, I think we have had a good quarter this time, with the order intake coming in with 41% growth. Our math lab has done particularly well, and we will talk about that. Skills, Yuva Jyoti continues to build momentum. It has at least started appearing as a full 2% of the business, but it's a long haul, and I think as a part of the transformation process, the new team has plans to integrate this along with the individual solutions, and Pat will talk more about that. But enough to say that 34,600 enrollments, and the reach has expanded to 76 locations. One of the things which we've been pursuing for the last 2 or 3 years is of strengthening our balance sheet, and I'm pleased to report that on all the three parameters, liquidity, profitability, and capital efficiency, we have had significant improvement. Our net debt has come down, our overdue BRs, bills receivable days have come down, our profits, at least at a certain level, are higher, but more coming out of below the EBITDA level, and that is contributed by lower depreciation, lower interest costs, and much better utilization of capital. And we'll get into a little bit of that detail as we go forward. At a high level, the highlight of the business is the corporate learning solutions performance, which is at 1.36 billion rupees, is up 28% year on year. It's 9% QOQ, which is very relevant to Mark as well in this particular case. EBITDA margin is at 12%. As we have been mentioning, last few quarters, we have added substantial new orders, and there is a transition period in which you do incur expenses but don't get commensurate revenues, and that is will, to an extent, adversely affect margin right now, and this quarter's orders will perhaps contribute a little more to that as we go forward, and Sapnesh, my colleague, will talk us through that. The MTS revenues are up 35% year-on-year. And we added three MTS contracts. Three new contracts got signed during this 90-day period. We added one new customer, and two were extensions of existing contracts, which shows the confidence that our current customers have. The new customer has been added again in energy space, but in Europe. In individual learning solutions, the revenues are down 16%. At 769 million. This is the business under transition and transformation, and there are a number of changes taking place, but enough to say that we had good traction in our new multi-stream modular RevG and IIT program, where we had 23% growth in enrollment. In fact, in our own centers, mostly in metro cities, we had a 50% growth in those enrollments, albeit on a small base given the weak third quarter that it is. And beyond IT products contribute now 33% to the revenue mix, up from 28% year on year. So beyond IT, range of programs are obviously making up for the kind of a hiring stall that has happened in IT for freshers. In school learning solutions, I think the positive is 41% growth year on year in order intake. Even though we added only 69 schools during the quarter, I think the per school order value was higher, and that has contributed to this, which shows us that it's a better quality orders that we have got this time. NGSA or non-government revenue contributes 61% to the revenue mix. Overall, I think this has been a quarter where we use the seasonal weakness to our advantage by focusing on business transformation initiatives. Just to give you an update, we had talked about the rationalization of subsidiary company structure. This scheme of arrangement has been approved by the stock exchanges. An order has been passed by High Court to convene meeting of shareholders and creditors, which is scheduled for end of this month. Our revitalized organization structure for the next phase of growth was worked upon by, and we have initiated a refresh of product portfolio and capacity consolidation in addition to cost reduction coming out of people initiatives. Overall, at the financials level, I have already mentioned, we had a 6% growth in net revenue. 6% is a single digit, small growth, but in comparative terms, if you compare the last few quarters, in many ways, it's the first sign of the benefits of business transformation beginning to show up. Our operating expenses were higher for three reasons. Number one, business mix, which was adverse. As you know, the individual learning solutions has much lower variable costs. On the other hand, the corporate learning solutions is traditionally a lower margin business. The second was the operating leverage, which works adversely in case of a lower size of individual learning solutions. And the third, of course, the business transformation initiative, which also consumed part of the cost structure. And on the other hand, there were some costs which did not give commensurate revenues. So that's the story at EBITDA level, which was at 2%, much, much lower than what we had the same period last year. But if you go below the line, we have had lower depreciation. Our depreciation was down by 17% on a year-on-year basis. Our net income was better. We had recovery of some disputed receivables, which we had gone in for an arbitration, and we won the arbitration case, so that kind of helped us. And lower taxation approximately same level of share of profits from associates, and therefore that explains the overall profit after tax of 18 million, which numerically is 55% more, but it's too small for it to be looked at on a steady state basis. We are used to much higher levels of profit after tax. I think the important issue is the business transformation, cost structure rationalization, which has contributed to a long-term benefit, but a short-term negative in terms of higher costs. Our teams have been able to bring down an annualized cost structure by about 10% of the overall skills and career group cost structure, which should help us a lot now that we will be staging a recovery from now onwards. Our business mix has tilted in a large way to the corporate business, which is very very good because it's annualized, it's predictable, and therefore now we have 55% of the business which has a revenue visibility of $177 million, and that is the business which is now on three quarters CYD basis is at 51% of the total. Similar story from EBITDA. On EBITDA, where the contribution is primarily coming from the corporate learning solutions, it is a steady and improving margin even on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Though, as I mentioned, the newer contracts that we have will put some short-term pressure on margin, but we are trying to make sure that we are able to maintain the margin despite these short-term pressures. And the good news is that these are large revenue intakes that we have had, and those should benefit us going forward. Going one level lower in corporate learning solutions, I think the order intake of $24.1 million was again a strong indication of this, of the customer acceptance of this business. We got some awards, and this time we got a very interesting award for being amongst the top gamification companies. Some of you appreciated the gamification-based content development that we showed you through simulations, etc., in our annual meet. And the fact that it has also been acknowledged by our peer group, I think, is very, very satisfying. Our pending order book now is at $64.5 million, 73% executable over the next 12 months. And as I mentioned, the revenue visibility is at $177 million with 24 MTS contracts. In individual learning solutions, I think the beyond IT products contribution of 33% to revenue mix, the order intake of $621 million, and the initiation of an industry sector demand-led product portfolio expansion, which Pat will talk about when he talks about business transformation, I think are some of the important areas. We signed an MOU with the Guiyan New Area, China, to support the big data industry, which is again a very unique and distinct partnership. And while the important part has been to look at the product portfolio again, I think there has been an intense on-ground capacity rationalization, capacity consolidation and cost reduction exercise, which has been underway. Maybe I'll take a pause here and ask Pat to say a little bit more about the business transformation overall, and then I'll come back and talk about school.
Good afternoon. On the business transformation area, we had basically two themes that we focused on. One was to accelerate the corporate sector business, corporate learning solutions, and the second was to focus on bringing the individual business back to profitability and transform it into a new model as we move forward. And also there's an intention to combine the skills business with the individual business as we move into the next financial year. When we look at the revenues side of the transformation program, in the short run, the focus was to accelerate the corporate business and look at all opportunities to extract more revenue from our existing clients, which has flown through into the 28% growth that we've seen in this quarter. In the medium to long term, there's focus on strengthening the sales capacity for accelerating the growth as we go into the next financial year. On the individual side, we have basically focused on the long-term programs around the GNIIT series, and we've seen some positive impact, as was mentioned by Vijay. At our own centers, we've been able to see substantial growth over the same period last year. And even among the top 20 business partner centers, we've also seen growth over the previous previous year, same quarter. From a longer-term perspective, we are widening our sector demand-led focused product portfolio, very similar to what we have already done in the banking sector, where our course portfolio is driven by a very tight connect to the corporate organizations. We're expanding that across a number of sectors, and we expect to see that contribute to business growth in the next financial year. Second area we've been working on is in terms of organizational structure alignment. We've done a number of alignment changes and a few more which will be completed by the end of the quarter. The essential objective here is both on the one hand to streamline the cost structure, but more importantly to realign the entire talent base of the organization to the priority market demand areas. And on the cost side, we've done a number of initiatives. On the one hand, we have done some consolidation of capacity at our individual learning centers. This has had very marginal impact on revenue, but more important, it's given us a lot of focus and cost savings, which will we see the benefit in the next financial year, a little bit of benefit in quarter four. Second is the entire organization of the individual learning business has been streamlined and brought together under a single umbrella. So the number of cost benefits that we will see as we move into the next financial year. There's also been very, very sharp focus on the existing cost management programs that are already in place, and the benefits of that we've seen will start flowing in from quarter four. Finally, on the organizational side, there is a program of action looking at shared services of some of the functions that support all the different businesses. We've initiated the program. we hope to see benefits sometime during the next financial year. It's just been 100 days. I joined on the 5th of October, but we've kicked off most of these programs within about 45 days, around middle of last quarter. So I want to emphasize that there's been extreme focus on speed and intensity of the transformation impact so that we can get the full benefit of these two quarters, which tend to be traditionally low on volumes of business, so that we are all set for the new financial year and the season as it picks up for the individual learning business. Back to you, Vijay.
Thanks, Pat. Pat already talked about the fact that skills will be a part of the individual solution, so I'll not cover it in any case. It had a very good quarter, though, with the very substantial growth to 39 million rupees. However, that's too small in the overall scheme of things. On school learning solutions, I already covered, but I'll just reemphasize that we had a very good quarter in terms of order intake, 130 million of order intake, which was 41% growth over the same period last year. And the fact that NGSA revenue now is at 61% of the total. Just a couple of minutes on the balance sheet, and then we'll open it up for questions. At a balance sheet level, I think our balance sheet is stronger than what it was last quarter. We've had better collections, so our overdue DSO days are down to 65, and they've been steadily coming down as we have this task force, which is focusing its energies on making sure that past due receivables, especially from government and government-linked undertakings, both in India and overseas, are looked at in with high degree of earnest. Many of these we have been able to convert into cash, and we are putting a still higher intensity this quarter and bring them to some kind of a logical conclusion. The net debt is down by 25 million to 507 million. As you know, our net debt has also been slowly coming down as we have better receivables. And the utilization of cash is being conserved for the business transformation initiative. I must point out that every business added the net cash during the quarter, despite the fact that individual learning solutions did not have a very positive, but even then they added cash as well during the quarter through collection of past dues as well as improvement in other capital efficiency areas. Overall, the net fixed assets are down at 1715 million from that's lower by 70 million on a QOQ basis. So I will pause here, other than the fact that I need to give you the headcount status. We have added 7 net headcount during the quarter, and therefore our headcount stands at 3028 at the end of quarter 3. So that's the last statistics on the shareholding pattern. FIIs have improved by 1% point. To that extent, the Indian financial institutions and mutual funds have reduced by about 150 to 200 basis points. Other than that, the shareholding pattern is approximately the same. I will now pause here and open this for questions, and all my colleagues here will be very happy to join in answering them. Operator.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from Chetan Varia of GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
So good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
So my first question is on the CLS part, the corporate. What kind of contract inflow can we see in the quarter four?
Okay. What kind of a contract inflow do we see in quarter four? Sapnesh, would you like to answer?
we've been on a run rate of between 1 and 3 contracts every quarter, so I see that run rate staying steady or marginally improving.
And in terms of value, size of the contract?
They tend to be between $1 and $5 million in range.
Per year. Multiplied by 3 to 5
About 3 to 5 year average contract duration.
Okay, I take that. Second question is also in terms of school learning solutions. What kind of private school addition can we see in quarter four?
Well, if I will ask Mr. Rajendran to comment until he comes, what I just want to say is that typically quarter four is the best quarter of the year because our schools are getting ready for the next season. Our math lab study, which was just released by Deloitte, has actually come out very strongly in favor of installing these math labs, which, by the way, CBSE has been saying for a while, because we did an impact study, and the impact is twofold. One, those who know math, their performance has improved dramatically. And the second, which is even more interested, those who fear math are now wanting to learn math. And therefore, we have a thumbs up from all three sections of society, which is school administrators, teachers, and parents, of course, not to say students. So we do believe that our product portfolio is very unique. Raju, would you like to add to that, please?
So, as far as schools is concerned, you know that right now we're talking about the non-government schools. We have taken a view that we are going to stay extremely focused on the three products we have and which are doing well. Along with that, we've got 2-3 other products which place us in a unique position with respect to perceived competitors. For example, our three flagship products are MathLab, which Vijay mentioned, then the school management solution, which is the education resource planning. The product name is Quick School. And the third one is the IT Wizard, which is to deal with the IT curriculum right from the elementary school till the 10th standard. Now, we are just focusing only on these three products, and they're saying that in these three areas, we want to be and we want to continue to be leaders. We do have the content, digital content. It's been there. Today, we don't get into the hardware part since last 8-10 months, and we give it on a one-time license. We also are engaged in the teacher training and the leadership training, and we are empaneled. Our names are there in the CBSE website, and that gives us a unique positioning because we are training principals of schools on how to reset their systems, get the school certified for accreditation, etc. As far as the orders which you mentioned, Vijay mentioned to you how this quarter is a strong quarter, and we definitely are expecting, we have a much better funnel than ever before, and we are expecting a good amount of this to get converted. Unfortunately, I can't give you any numbers right now.
It's okay, sir. It's okay. So, I'll ask one more question before I join back the queue. My question, in case of government contracts, which are the right now we are serving just to complete them and fulfill our contractual obligations, do we have the option in them to kind of exit the contract before time and kind of write off something? Because of the dual of having a government non-government contract, I think it is not showing the right performance of the non-government contract in the books.
That is very true, and unfortunately, that option does not exist to short close the contracts, and therefore we have to go through the routine. The only thing which we can do is keep giving the breakup so that everybody understands. So, in fact, if you take these businesses that we have decided to exit, if you keep them aside, our growth this quarter actually has been 10%. But it has got marred by the fact that the businesses that we are exiting are making the growth appear slower. So that is indeed the case, but I guess the only way we know of handling this is to be transparent about what is happening in each one of these so that a discerning eye can see where the improvement is actually happening.
Okay, Okay, sir. And last one, so is it possible to divide the school learning financials into government contracts and non-government contracts?
Going forward, that might be possible. At this point of time, as once we do the subsidiary reorganization, we would be able to give a clearer picture as we go forward.
But this year will continue like this?
This year it will be like this, but maybe next year onwards, at least you would know what is the trailing part of the tail part of the government business and how is that fading out and how is this fading in.
Okay, I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ganesh Shetty. He's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. So we are coming out of government school business at this point of time, but government is showing enough enthusiasm towards skill building and education as such. In such circumstances, if we get revised financial arrangement from the government, are we ready to re-enter the government school business, sir? Just a question for, you know, we are coming out and government is also showing a very great enthusiasm. In that respect, I am just putting this question, sir.
Yeah.
So let me take that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Start with. So, like we said, right now we've got three government contracts. And that allows us even to focus on our existing government contracts and try to get, what should I say, a better margin out of this because of our clear focus on costs and maintenance and all that. As we go forward, we have had informal chats on what are the other possibilities because we don't want to get into a asset-heavy connection with the government. A. B. The real problem in all these projects have been that we have to keep slogging and doing a great job, but you don't get paid for it. And after that, when the payment comes, after maybe 6 months to 2 years, and then the government rakes up audits and things like that, so everything gets delayed. Fundamental to this is some of us have proposed to the government mechanisms of, let's say, escrow and such other possibilities for payment, but none of that has moved forward. For your information, a couple of tenders of last year, and I quoted that last quarter, I think, a couple of tenders of 5,000 schools, etc., which came from two, three governments, state governments, never went forward because A, NIT did not quote, B, in the second and third tenders, I think some of the names who were used to quoting, they also did not quote. So some of their own projects have got delayed. At least 10,000 schools, for what I know, have got delayed for 1 year, even placement of orders. So you are right. In the new regime, it may be possible to take this up in line with the skill development. So it will not be just teaching IT. It may also be vocational training into schools. But and if such an opportunity comes, which is good for the company, which is not locking us into the old types of bad payment terms and hassles, I don't see any reason why we should not take it up.
Okay, yeah. We'll open it for the next one.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Sofian Lakravala of Lalkar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Oops, sorry, did I interrupt the previous person? He was still asking a question. Operator, could you put
sure.
it back to Mr. Ganesh? Sorry.
Sure, sir. Sure.
My apologies.
I can do that, sir. Mr. Shetty, your line has been unmuted.
Yeah, sorry, sir. Sir, we have introduced digital marketing and like ethical hacking, like, you know, such a new age IT training programs. And how do you see the market shaping up in India and the margins going forward, sir? Whether we are getting enough customers and whether the customer intensity is increasing or any, you know, sir, the way forward.
I will ask Mr. Shivan Bhargav to answer this question. He is the person who is driving this.
Hi, good afternoon. On ethical hacking, let me tell you, the market is really very, very large. We have just started the first batch. In fact, the first batch is already in progress as we speak right now. The initial feedback from the students has been very nice. So the opportunity which it presents out there in the marketplace is extremely huge, right? And this is one area that we are going to be focusing extremely hard. And these are the areas that will also give us dividends and revenues in the future as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so my last question is regarding, you know, fundraising. We have shown in interest in raising of capital for the future. And I wish to know where we can put this money in, whether we are going for an acquisition or a new e-learning platform, any plan like that. Can you please explain?
Yeah, I think you are referring to the postal ballot.
Yes, sir.
I just have to explain to you that the postal ballot is not caused by an event of any kind. It is an enabling provision which has got caused because of the change in company law, where earlier it was required for one-time approval, and we had taken a one-time approval in 1996, which is what was going on so far. And this year, the new company law, which is effective 2013, the company law effective 2013 is the one which mandates that once in a year we have to take the shareholders' approval for the limits that we are taking. So it is an enabling provision. It's the same number which we had taken 1996 that we are continuing with, just to make sure that we are on the right side of law. There is no specific event. If and when there is a specific event, obviously, as a shareholder, you would get to know about it as is mandated to us.
Yeah, that's all from me, sir. All the best, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ganesh. And, operator, now you can go to the next question.
Sure, sir. Before we take our next question, we would like to remind participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is from Sufyan Lakrawala of Lalkar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon, sir. So my question was like, what's your focus on the new programming on China? Can you elaborate on that thing?
I will ask my colleague, Mr. Patwardhan, to talk about it.
Thank you.
Just come back from China. So.
Okay.
Fresh from the press.
Yeah, thanks for that question. In China, currently the focus is on transformation, similar to what we are doing in the domestic business in India for the individual sector. China, as you know, has a more evolved market in terms of internet penetration and in terms of the smart technologies. So as you may have noticed, we have recently signed an MOU with one of the local governments in the south of China called Guiyang province. The central government is investing substantially in developing a very large big data industry in this province, and we have been invited to contribute to building the workforce to supply to service this industry. This is a relatively backward part of China, so it's a very important strategic investment that the central government is making. The availability of talent is not that high, and therefore I think we have a significant opportunity to contribute substantially to helping them build this big data industry, which is a very important part of their overall plan. In terms of expansion in China, we have consciously decided to focus internationally in the individual business only on China. We have actually been focusing on some of our other activities in the individual business in other territories, apart from what we're already doing, which we shall keep going. So the focus on China is going to increase in the coming year, and I think we'll be able to talk more about it when we firm up our plans and are able to share them with you next quarter.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is a follow-up from Chetan Varia of GHB Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So my question, are you in a position to give some kind of an outlook for what kind of revenue for you like to end the year FY15 with and for FY16?
Okay. I think given the amount of business uncertainty in the environment, I think the certain parts of the business are in our corporate learning business, which is ahead of its projections and will finish ahead of its projections. So you could assume that we had guided for 20% growth, and we are already beyond 20% growth. but we will finish beyond 20% growth. Or in one quarter, a little bit here or there can happen, but it will definitely be of the similar level that we are talking about. In individual learning business, we are recovering and going through the business transformation process. So I think the results are not likely to improve in the next quarter, but definitely from first quarter or middle of first quarter onwards, we should start seeing positive results. In school learning solutions, we have the private schools business where we said it's going to be a strong quarter for in quarter four, and that's coming from the historic point of view. We do believe that the budget will bring some cheer. Union budget will bring some cheer, which will add some momentum to the positive consumer sentiment. We believe that the hiring in the domestic industry will improve. In banking and financial services, where we have a very strong position and a big stake, we believe that the hiring in that sector should improve. And if all those are pointing in the right direction, then with our business transformation initiative, I think we should finish the year or finish next quarter better than, slightly better than this quarter. But I think next year is a year when the real benefits of transformation will come through. That's what I would like to say. Raji, you want to add something to it? Pat, you want to add something to it?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I take that. And so second question is on the school learning solution. I mean, what kind of product we package when we approach a private school that we intend to that we'll sell at this point in time? Because I believe we have certain niche product for schools in terms of ERPs, in terms of evaluation and all that, apart from the course content which we digitize for the students. So are we seeing a trend where the schools are adopting more than one product from NIIT?
Okay, Mr. Rajendran will answer that.
Yeah, so it's very difficult to say when NIIT goes to a school, what are they most excited about? It tends to differ from different reactions from different parts of the country. But one thing which we have found largely when I take feedback from our sales team, when we approach them and when we talk to them about if it is IT, who else can teach you IT better than NIIT, who has been pioneers in the last 33 years, whatever, we very easily get that entry. It does not mean that we will sell IT. It is just possible that it is just an entry, but then they get excited. We then move to technology-based teaching for teachers and students. And then position math. Now, math is very important because almost everybody in this country thinks that going to engineering is the best thing to do. So math always gets the imagination, both of the principals as well as the management. And they believe that if the math performance improves inside the classroom. So for example, in one of the places where we had a math lab, we went and talked to the head of the Department of Maths. And I asked her a simple question. Why did you invest in this? Why did you buy this from NIIT? She said, I'm very clear that if I continue to focus on getting more and more children in the class, get 100% marks in 10th grade, then the overall performance of the class completely moves up, one. And second is, like Vijay and I mentioned earlier, removing the fear of maths. So this is a unique product for us. It's doing well. The impact study, which was done by Deloitte, has shown very clearly that it's an excellent product. Then the other one, which I mentioned, was the school education resource planning. Product that is continuously improving. Now we have the new version where from any Android or handheld device, a parent can check the progress of the child, teacher can check the schedules. So it's going to the next generation as far as the product is concerned. So these three are our focus products, and we intend to remain focused on this, these three products.
Okay, I think that's helpful. And my last question on the school learning solution again is that in the last con call it was mentioned that we may kind of put it this entire as a separate company or a separate division and invite some strategic investor. Any headway in that?
Yeah, so I just mentioned to you about the scheme of arrangement that's under process by the court, and the court has convened a special EGM, which will be end of this month. All investors or all shareholders have been invited for that. So at the end of that, it will still take another 1.5 to 2 months for the formalities to be completed, after which schools will become part of an independent subsidiary, at which time all these possibilities that we talked about of strategic partnerships, etc., to gain momentum in this space and take advantage of the strong background and heritage that we have, that is the time when all these things will come alive.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Our next question is from P. Sachdev of PNY Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. You mentioned fiscal 16 being a transformational year for the ILS segment. I mean, I just want to know, you know, is it the external environment, a pickup in demand that gives you the confidence, or is the internal restructuring and transformation? Thanks.
I'll ask them to answer that. And maybe also give you some glimpses of what that transformation is like.
Well, the short answer first is that it's both. Obviously, the transformation is focused not just on cost restructuring, but more importantly on aligning ourselves to the growth opportunities and segments of the market for individual learning. So let me first talk about the revenue side of things. We have done an intensive scan of the total demand potential for the entire skill spectrum beyond IT. And as you know from all the media coverage that you get on the whole skill sector, there's a huge demand in a number of areas beyond IT. The size of that demand is far, far in excess of the total demand for IT training per se. So as we have been talking about in the last few years that we are moving beyond IT, that intensity is going to increase substantially. So our focus in that direction is to look at how we can bring in a much larger range of offerings covering a wider range of sectors very quickly and capture many of the hot growth demand areas in the skill sector. The cost restructuring side, of course, is a more short-term focus to quickly align our cost structure to the current revenue line so that we can very confidently look forward to the individual business becoming profitable as early as possible. And that's something we're focusing on very, very intensely this quarter, and much of the current quarter is also being focused on that. As you know, the individual learning business quarter 3, 4, and 1 tend to be the lower quarters in terms of the revenue line, basically linked in some way to the academic season in the universities and schools. So quarter 2 really is the, should I say, the acid test of our transformation plan delivering results substantially going forward. But I think the whole thing is predicated around the fact that there is immense demand when we go beyond IT. We have demonstrated success in increasing our portfolio of beyond IT programs. So today it's about 33% of our portfolio. What we're really going to do is to accelerate that much, much faster, so that we are not dependent on IT as a primary plank. It is, of course, a plank which is very important, but it will become a smaller proportion of our total portfolio going forward. Shivan, you want to add anything to that?
No, thank you.
So you mentioned about the market size of non-IT being, you know, far more than the IT. Could you throw some number in terms of the organized market size for that?
Well, I think it depends on the sector, because if you look at any one of the service industry sectors, whether they be telecom or retail or banking or generic skills like management, soft skills, for example, if you look at our own Imperia product range, we are seeing impressive growth year on year of quarter by quarter. And in fact, we have hardly tapped, we have hardly touched the total demand potential in the market with a limited range of offerings that we have. Similarly, in the banking sector, while we have seen a little bit of a dip in our banking enrollments this quarter, but if you look carefully at our portfolio of customers, they have been growing, and we are confident that this business is going to keep picking up. Healthcare is another big sector. The numbers we're talking about are large. I can't give you any numbers offhand right now, but every one of these sectors in the services area, the demand is accelerating, and it's not really addressed very well by any of the major players. So there's good potential out there to be got if we move quickly.
Okay, so please correct me if I'm wrong. The percentage of non-IT, the earlier guidance you've given, you know, as a percentage, can I safely assume that the contribution is much faster or the transformation is much faster?
Yes, it is faster for two reasons, because non-IT, beyond IT has grown and IT unfortunately has degrown. So, but if IT was growing at the same pace as an or was growing at was flat or growing slower but not degrowing, then it would have taken us another 1 year to reach this place where we are today.
Okay, so
the only thing you must remember is right now, since IT is recognized as a skill which you have to get from an institution such as NIIT, whereas in banking, it took us 2 or 3 years before people could understand, but now it is established that you want to learn banking and financial services. If you want to get into that industry, that NIIT is the market leader and is a market leader by a huge margin. So in each sector, that supremacy needs to be established. And to that extent, I think the beyond IT sector's growth will to that extent be affected by that.
Yeah, one point I'd like to add is that in the past, our offerings of beyond IT were limited to a few of our own centers and a few of the business partner network. Starting this quarter, every product of NIIT, whether it is banking or management or soft skills or IT, is available for purchase by the retail community at every location of NIIT countrywide. So that's an important directional change, and we expect that in itself to add incremental revenue to our growth.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Aseem Gupta of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted a couple of follow-up questions. Hello.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Pat just mentioned that we have the courses are being offered in all the centers now. So that was that's starting Q4 FY15.
Yes. Yes. As a network policy, it's already been rolled out and offered to every single business partner who is operational today. How long it will take for each of the partners to get organized to be able to actually register students will depend, of course, on their getting some of the necessary resources in place, like faculty and so on. But we'll probably see some little bit of impact in this quarter, but I think the benefits will really start flowing in from quarter one next year.
Okay. Just to understand, actually, weren't these courses, is it not possible to offer the courses via VSAT? This was a part of the reorganization strategy, as I understand, right?
Yes, yes. Today, as you already know, our Imperia offerings are available through VSAT.
Right.
A part of our IT curriculum are also available through the VSAT platform. So when we talk about the expansion of the curriculum that I mentioned earlier, a part of the strategy behind that is to offer many more things through this model. And we're also examining taking that further. Very early days to talk about it, but whether there's possibilities of going direct to home. But that's something which we don't have any offerings yet, given the unreliability of the last mile to provide the kind of quality of line to ensure reliable learning.
Yeah, right. On the cost containment in ILS, is it fair to say that the cost containment exercise is now over?
It is not completely over, because a number of smaller strands of activity that we are working on, which we shall work through during this quarter. But our firm intent is that we complete all elements of the cost rationalization in ILS by the end of this quarter. And thereafter, the focus is entirely going to be only on revenue growth.
Okay. And the new industry focus areas, the courses on the in the new industries, by when do we expect them to get launched?
Let me ask Shivan.
See, some of the courses we have already launched, but there are new courses which we are in the process of launching. We have launched beyond IT courses. Digital marketing is already there. Ethical hacking, as I mentioned to a previous question, we have already run the first batch. The first batch is already running. We are already in line for running a second batch on ethical hacking. Then there is user experience. We'll be launching in this quarter as well. So we are bringing in a lot of portfolio within IT. This is beyond IT kind of portfolio. On banking also, we are looking at PO product getting launched within the next 2 to 3 months' time.
Right.
In the skills area, we have focused predominantly so far on certain territories in India where we've been offering programs, preparing people for the retail sector and the telecom sector. With our new model where we're offering all products to the entire network, these programs will suddenly be available to a much larger pool of students around the country. So I think our reach strategy is also going to be very important in driving up the revenues.
Yeah, for sure. In China, would we continue to offer only IT courses or will that also include beyond IT?
Good question. I think the answer is in your question, which is whatever we are doing in India is also going to be done in China. However, in China, we'll be a bit more focused in the expansion beyond the IT curriculum, simply because we don't have the same reach that we have in India.
Plus censorship.
Plus many other elements. So we will be extending beyond IT, but in a very carefully calibrated fashion. But the IT curriculum itself is going to be expanding in China from what we currently have. And as I mentioned before, the big data is one big theme. Important focus of the Chinese government, the fact that they've invited us to contribute to that is a very positive signal.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Just on CLS, in an earlier question, it was mentioned that we will continue to get 1 to 3 contracts, new contracts every quarter. And each contract size is $1 to $5 million.
$1 to $5 million a year. It's typically a 3 to 5 year contract.
Right. Now the issue is that I think we are already at a run rate of almost $20 million a quarter.
Yes.
So actually, even to replace our existing revenue, we need to be. So is it like we are being conservative in what we are saying in terms of incremental order addition?
No, I don't think so. I think the $20 million revenue which we have has another 3 or 4 years to go. If you divide $177 million on an average 4 years, that's $40 million of revenue which is already in the $45 million of revenue already in pocket. For every year, and then you have the non-run rate customers plus growth in these customers, all those are there. So I think two contracts a quarter on an average should continue us on a 20% odd growth rate. Would that be right, Sapnesh? Sapnesh is here. Let him answer the question.
Yeah, that and renewals of existing contracts should keep us in good place.
Right. Okay, so these are new contracts. So this would include renewals, right?
No, we would call renewals separately. These are extensions. Extension means earlier we were handling one part of the organization, now we are handling a larger part of the organization.
Okay, right, sir. Right, understood. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, but you have a point, however, that as we go beyond the next financial year and thereafter, we are focused at driving up the size of the ticket size of the relationships, as well as the looking at methods to capture more of the visibility into concrete order book through a higher annuity component. That's part of the longer-term strategy of evolving our offers to customers, so that we can make that happen, so that we can continue the pace of growth beyond year one, year two, year three.
Right, sir. And just some guidance on the margins in CLS going forward?
Margins.
We think we will continue at the same increment, given that as we add more contracts or extend the share of the wallet, we also have transition costs to deal with. So I would say we will stay at the same pace of increment of margins.
Right. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Vinod Malviya of Florentry Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I would just like to understand the operating leverage in the individual learning business. Now, obviously, at 77 crore revenue, you come out with a 10 crore of negative EBITDA, while just in Q1, you were at 73 crores of revenue and 0.1 crores of EBITDA. So basically, there's been something like a 10 to 11 crore hit you have taken this year, this quarter, compared to Q1 on a higher revenue, which says that this is not purely operating leverage. It's because of the restructuring efforts that you've taken. Now, I've heard the restructuring efforts, which is basically expanding the amount of courses that you're offering and so on. What I want to understand is how much of this course is one-off, and is it really one-off or is it likely to continue in the next quarter? And secondly, if it's not, is this a new cost base because you're offering larger courses now? Is this going to be the new cost base going forward?
Okay, I think you asked many questions and in one, but I would give a larger response. One is that between quarter one and quarter three, we have had one staff cost increase because of increments and higher wages, the annual increments, that's one. And the second, of course, is the fact that the business transformation costs do put a double pressure. And I think Pat will explain that to you, that when you decide that you will combine two centers, you sacrifice some revenue in addition to reducing your cost. So you get a two-way double whammy on that. So in many ways, during the transformation exercise, you will notice that these changes are bound to happen. The actual comparison, if you really want to see a comparison, is with quarter two, because with quarter two, the leverage works out exactly the same way, because we were in approximately the same condition. But next year, our fixed cost structure would have come down dramatically, because of the business transformation exercise, and therefore you should be able to see a much more benefit of having variabilized the cost. That's my answer, but let Pat add his bit.
Yeah, I think I won't repeat what Vijay has already said, but our focus on the cost restructuring is with a view to bringing the cost structure in quarter one of next year to a level where we take a pessimistic revenue line for quarter one, which we, of course, will do better than that. But even if that happens, our cost structure brings us to back to profitability for the individual business. That is the intent behind the intensity and the depth of the cost restructuring effort. As I said before, the actions have been taken very, very quickly. We've got very little benefit of that in this quarter because we've also spent money to do this effort. We'll start seeing some of the benefit in quarter four because we have notice periods, leases, and so on, 3 months typically. But from quarter one onwards, most of the benefits would have been baked in, and we'll be seeing that for the whole of next year.
Yeah, I understand. So I know that you don't necessarily give a guidance, but just on this point alone, is it fair to assume that in quarter four, you're also likely to see some reasonable amount of cost hit because of the restructuring and the benefits not flowing through fully?
I would say yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And secondly, you have been reporting these the number of cloud-enabled courses and number of cloud-enabled enrollments and so on. So when I look at it in Q3, in Q4 FY13, you had 27,000 enrollments, and today you have 100,000 enrollments. I mean, I'm wondering, like, what is the real benefit there? I would have thought the benefit was to come out of operating leverage or a reduction in the actual operating costs. So what is the benefit here? Because we don't see any benefit out of that, and that's still one of the metrics that you keep tracking and reporting regularly.
Yeah, I think we report those because one of the requirements of in one of the feedbacks that we received is that if you take an initiative, then take it to its logical conclusion of where it stabilizes. The other thing which has happened in the meanwhile is that the overall market size tanked, and therefore the benefits of Cloud Campus are not visible. Just to give you one simple benefit which Cloud Campus gave straight away was movement from paper-based courseware to digital courseware, which straightaway added 400 basis points to the margin. However, that margin benefit disappeared because right now we are operating at such a low capacity that the impact of operating leverage just clouds the whole issue of benefits which we got out of Cloud Campus. Second, in the early part of like any other technological investment, you work with the manual as well as the technology-based solution in a parallel period. And we served a part of that period. And I think now we are in a much more stable form. So when we come out of this exercise, perhaps we'll begin to see some larger benefits.
One more thing I would add to that is that it is our directional strategy to move from being asset-heavy and technology-intensive light to a model where we are technology-intensive and asset-light, and that is in line with both what we are doing on moving most of our student base gradually onto the cloud platform and reducing the number of physical brick-and-mortar centers that we own. This is something which is part of a much bigger vision of where we want to head, and we are discussing this at the board level, in fact, for the first time tomorrow. But I think we'll be able to share more with you on some of the directional and changes that we are making in terms of moving towards a platform-based business in the individual learning sector across all segments, not just IT, in the next couple of years.
Right. Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that.
We'll be sharing that with you in the annual investor meet when we have in May. We should be able to showcase some of those things to you.
Great. Great. Appreciate that. Just one more question on the corporate learning solutions. Could you just talk briefly about the kind of contracts which you would have lost, possibly, just for us to understand as to what is the potential out there and what are the reasons why you're losing and why you would be able to make up and sort of grow faster there?
Yeah, Sapnesh will answer. He's the guy who faces the bullets.
So just like Vijay pointed out, I face the bullets typically come from the likes of IBM, Accenture, ACS, Xerox, and Raytheon and General Physics. So we are in a highly competitive marketplace. Some of the contracts that we lose are contracts which are part of an HR outsourcing initiative where training, given that it falls under the HR umbrella, several times pure play outsourcing companies provide a better or a larger play to organizations, and therefore it might make sense for them to include training as part of an HR outsourcing initiative. Though over the last 6 quarters or so, we are starting to see corporations discern between HR outsourcing and training, and they are starting to see that training is a distinctive activity, and HR outsourcing generalists have a hard time delivering on those outsourcing contracts. So sometimes, like I said, we lose to large outsourcers when training is bundled under an HRO contract. But we're starting to see that change to some extent now.
A couple of points I'll add to that. Subnation team have been working very hard on improving the qualification and conversion ratios, and we've seen some improvement over the last two or three quarters. The other thing that we've also noticed is that there is increased pull from the market. Not just in terms of our own push-driven sales activity, but we're starting to get customers contacting us of their own accord, asking us to participate in RFPs and RFIs.
Right, right, yeah, okay. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much once again. I think for a fairly intense discussion, and as I always mention, many of your questions make us think again on and strengthen our belief in what we are doing. And to that extent, I'm very, very thankful to you. If there were any unanswered questions or you have any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate to contact Kapil Saurabh. in investor relations, and he'll ensure that to whoever you would like to talk to is made available to you. We are, as always available for any further discussions, suggestions, advice, guidance, and of course, we are perpetually thankful to you for your cooperation and support so far. With that, I thank you for being on the call.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.